really preach about Seventh-day Adventist education today at all, because right here in front of us, a moment ago, I can use them both. In front of you a moment ago, you saw the outcomes of Seventh-day Adventist education. Our principal, who went to Waldwick Seventh-day Adventist School, then went to Andrews and went to, for her master's degree, Teachers College, Columbia. And our school board chair, who went to Waldwick, then went to Garden State Academy, if I'm not mistaken, went to Southern, and then went to law school to become an attorney. So there is no need for me to speak to you at all about Adventist education, because right here you've seen the best of what our schools can do. Would you say amen? Amen. So because of that, I'm looking at the time. It is almost 12:20, and I was told that you are a church that believes in going home on time, and the on time is 12:30, so I only have 10 minutes. And the students did such a great job. The story Vice Principal Plaisir presented is really what my sermon was going to be about, talking about priority. So I think we can just sing and pray and then go home, unless you want to give me a few more minutes. There you go for it. Take as long as you'd like. No? I'll try my best. Since I have a lot of slides, so I'm going to go through them very fast. Hoping that we'll be fine with everyone. Also bring your greetings from our conference. Our president, Dr. Aguero, and it's a privilege for me really to also serve in Sabbath school, so coming here to Sabbath school was also a great privilege. Everything you see here with the students, it takes more than the principal, the vice principal, the teachers. I see Mrs. Williams is here too, parents, all of you. You can continue to support the school because we are making a difference. We are preparing students to make a difference here. And more importantly, we are preparing them for the soon return of Jesus. And may his return be very soon. Amen. Let's pray together. You've been good to us, Father, and we praise you. We praise you for Jesus. We praise you for this beautiful church family, for all the parents, the students, the school staff, the administration, the board, the many who have served, who have given through the years. And we thank you and we praise you. Father, may you continue to help us every day that we may keep your mission and foremost in our hearts and our mind, that we may spread the news, and may Jesus' return be very soon. In his name we pray and ask. Amen. Now, I don't want to take credits for the entire presentation. As you can see here, this is adapted from a paper presented by Dr. George Knight. He did his presentation to college president and university president of Seventh-day Adventist institutions. So what I've done, I've adapted what he said to all of these individuals and speaking to all of you as church members. I'm going to go through the slides very fast so that I do not keep you here very long. For those of you who know Dr. Knight very well, he speaks a lot. I'm going to test this first to make sure it's on so that everything is okay. Okay, we are fine. Excellent. Good. This is not from him. I wanted to start give the foundation for religious education. Give me 1 second and I'm going to get it. Excellent. First, we're not going to read all the texts here, but you can write them down and you can read them later. We begin first with Moses giving his farewell address in Deuteronomy, a passionate plea for the nation to obey the command of God so that he will go with them in their new land. The address reminds the people of the people of who their God is, Deuteronomy 6:4, and what he has done for them. Moses implores the people to pass this commandment unto the next generations, which is also our job to pass on our faith to the next generation. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, tells us O hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be in your heart. And the same message is true for us today. He tells us to impress them on our children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. In other words, share those commandments, pass on the faith 24/7 to our children. Then he continues, he says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, meaning everywhere they are, they need to see these commandments. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about the Hebrew view of education. Fathers and mothers were responsible for the education of their children. Knowledge was the focus, but the knowledge was from their creator and his moral values and judgment. The arts and sciences were taught as well, and all knowledge was founded upon scriptural principles. Adventist schools continue to believe and support parents who homeschool, because we see here our children were to be always around individuals who teach them 24/7 of the Lord. It can be done in two places, either in our Seventh-day Adventist schools or in our homes with parents teaching their children. Education for what? Nothing can be more important in a society than the clear statement of goals for education, wrote Millicent McIntosh. In counsels to teachers, Ellen White wrote that by a misconception of the true nature and object of education, many have been led into serious and even fatal errors. And here she means fatal not merely for this earth, but eternal fatal. In other words, an education can be for life or it can be for destruction. Again, she wrote, the necessity of establishing Christian schools is urged upon me very strongly. And the schools of today, this is in her days, she says, many things are taught that are a hindrance rather than a blessing. If you can imagine, in her days, she said there were many things that were taught that were a hindrance. Think of it today. Schools, she said, are needed where the Word of God is made the basis of education. Satan is a great enemy of God, and it is his constant aim to lead souls away from their allegiance to the King of Heaven. He would have minds so trained that men and women will exert their influence on the side of error and moral corruption instead of using their talents in the service of God. And I just look at the time now. The time is 12:30. Let me do this. I'm going to stay away from my notes for a moment so I can be true to what I said earlier. Just stay with me, okay? I promise. Now, Dr. Knight also mentioned to shape educational policy is to guard the path that leads from the present to the future. And he gave us several accounts of reformers, presidents, popes that are always interested in education, because by using education, you can actually get through your agenda. I mentioned that already, so I'm going to pass it very fast. Education as an integral part of the Lutheran Reformation. Lutheran taught the people to read so that they could read the Bible, thus the Reformation. Puritans, when the first settlers came here, they started Harvard College in 1636 so that they can train the people of the ways of the Lord. We're kind of giving you here an historical background. Early Adventists were inspired by similar insight. Thus, it was no accident that Ellen White framed her educational thought within the context of the Great Controversy. And this is the key here. If you can understand Ellen White presenting education in the context of the Great Controversy. I'm going to talk to you here for a moment. Even when Ellen White got married, she chose James White because she said, by getting married now, we can use our lives to bring about the second coming. So everything they did back then was always with the focus of the second coming. I'm going to do this so that we can use our energy together to bring about the second coming. So I'm going to go through very fast, and then I'm going to summarize very quickly. This is important. The Jesuits have a famous maxim. Give me a child for the first 7 years, we separate that before, and you may do what you like with him or her afterwards. Lenin later went one better and reckoned if he had the child for 8 years, he would be able to make that child a good communist. In other words, the importance of the people who are training your children. So for Ellen White and her mind, we also need to have schools so that we can prepare our children for the second coming. Now, there is a book that I've been looking at. Actually, there's a website that I've been looking at that talks to all of us Christians to teach us on how to use our work to bring about the second coming. In other words, how to use our work for evangelism. In other words, it's good to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, wherever you may be working, but not to forget our mission, our purpose. Our purpose is to be able to spread the gospel as we work so that others can get to know Jesus. Now, the more we got into this research or this presentation, we've noticed that many of us in the church have forgotten our reason for being. And the moment we forget that we are a church, not just another Christian church, we are a church that is here, that is preaching the three angels' message, and our goal is a prophetic church, a church that is here to prepare a people for the soon return of Jesus. Once we understand that, our budget, our church budget, our home lives, the things that we do, they are always with that focus. So then, we understand the need to support Christian schools. We understand the need to send our children to Christian schools, not just Christian schools, to Seventh-day Adventist schools, so that they can be part of that big movement. But we were talking about priority earlier, when we don't remember the second coming anymore, because we are so busy doing other things, then we become just like the other Christians or the other churches. So education of our children are no longer important. So my friends, today, Adventist schools for what? I'm going to go through very quickly so we can get there so you can see what Seventh-day Adventist schools are. Now, Ellen White also always believes that our schools should be the best. Because individuals are saying, well, we can send our kids to the schools, it may not be the best, but God is there. Ellen White says, in our schools, not only God is there, but they also have the best. So earlier, I was able to show you what our schools have done by seeing our principal, by seeing our school board chair. In other words, we are here to prepare students, to give them what they need to be able to make a difference here as you prepare them for the soon return of Jesus. So Ellen White makes it very clear. She says, we should reach the highest possible development. And she goes on, and speaking of Loma Linda, she said, we need to train our students so they can pass the state exams. In other words, the highest standards, and that's what we do. At World Week, that's what we do at all our schools. And then there are individuals who believe that Ellen White talked about preparing students so they can work the field. This is a statement from her here where she said she did not merely mean work with a person's hand as they prepare for careers in agriculture or the trades. She said we need to prepare our students for professions. In other words, we have to give them the best training. And I mentioned this before about Loma Linda University. The highest order, the best in all of our schools. A medical education that will enable them to pass the examinations required by law. In other words, prepare our students to give them the best education. So not only God is in our schools, we give them the best education, and we are preparing them with the Adventist prophetic message, which is the key here. I'm going to go through them again very fast, as I said to you before that I would do. Just to take something here that I want to share with you, and then I'll close. I mentioned the spiritual aspect already. To teach them the joy of service, which we do in our schools. And she said, we're not just preparing citizens. The author mentioned, we're not just preparing citizens for Chile, for Korea, or for the United States. We are preparing citizens for the kingdom. Preparation for both the earthly and the eternal world are included in Adventist education and place in proper relationship to each other. Again, I apologize. I'm going to go very, very, very fast. As I mentioned earlier, secular education leaves out the spiritual aspect. I mentioned the higher joy of service already. Jesus in service, and Jesus, we see, he gave his life and he came to serve. I'll be happy to share the message by email to anyone who would like to have the full, but I do not want to keep you here too long. The role of the teacher, this is important. I'm going to mention very well also. I think we need to think of our teachers more than before, because our teachers are also pastors. And that tonight was able to show that teachers, they have the young ones to educate. And in the Bible itself, they always combine pastoral and teaching ministry together. There is not one that is above the other, but they are to work together. So we have pastors teaching our children. And I apologize again, I have to go fast. Almost done. I mentioned before the impressionable age of our students, the young ones, the importance of them to be educated by Adventist teachers. This is all about the role of a teacher. With Martin Luther saying, if he had the choice, he would have selected to be a teacher. We mentioned Jesus as a teacher already. Integration of faith and learning in our curriculum. We teach our children about Seventh-day Adventists. We teach them also about the Bible. The second coming is key. Therefore, we are not just another Christian school. We are preparing them for the soon return of Jesus, which is the apocalyptic message that we see in Daniel and Revelation. I just want to show you a little statistics, and then I will close with the statistics. Again, I apologize for going very fast. I'd like to be asked to come back. Also, 12:45 is the last time, the most I can go, so I want to make sure I keep that in mind. Almost there. Again, this is all talking about the gospel message. The Adventist end time apocalyptic message, it's important also, as we see in the book of Daniel and Revelation. Adventism at its best and healthiest has linked its apocalyptic mission with education. Hand in hand, the two of them goes hand in hand, evangelism and education. Now, this is important. It is no accident that the establishment of its first college and the sending of its first official foreign missionary both took place in 1874. In other words, we've always been a church that combines education with evangelism. Always. We've never placed one above the other. Statistics, very informative statistics. While the denomination had two schools in 1880 and 16 in 1890, it rapidly expanded to 245 schools in 1900, 844 schools in 1910, and 2,178 schools in 1930. So the more that they were focusing on evangelism, the more their schools were growing. What is important here is that the growth in Adventist mission shows exactly the same growth curve as that for education. So my friends, we have to ask ourselves the question, what's going on today? As the denomination sought to educate the coming generation of young people, not only about that apocalyptic mission, but to dedicate their lives to it. So more of them got into service to serve, so that others may get to know Jesus. The losing of the apocalyptic vision in Adventism place in prophetic history is the greatest threat that Adventism and its educational system face in the 21st century. When we start becoming too comfortable, when we are no longer thinking about going to heaven, we've lost our priorities. We want to remain here. Therefore, why prepare our students for the soon return of Jesus? Why invest in Adventist schools? That's what he's saying here. The more, once we forget that focus on evangelism, then our schools start to struggle. So my friends, the call today to each one of us is to remember that we are a movement. Our place, our home is not here on this planet. Our home is in heaven. You know, there was someone who was looking at Seventh-day Adventist. The person was not a Seventh-day Adventist. He was just looking at the church, and then he made a statement that I'd like to say to all of you to get you to think about. He said, for a church that believes so much in the second coming, a church that preaches the apocalyptic message, he said, you guys, and speaking to all of us, sure built a strong kingdom on earth. To him, he said he couldn't understand that. If you believe that Jesus is coming soon, how can you build so much on earth? In other words, I need to sacrifice as a parent to place my child in a Seventh-day Adventist school, not just another Christian school, if we believe that we have a special message. If we, as a church, we believe in the purpose of Seventh-day Adventist schools, as a church, we should show it in our budget. You know, now we have some churches, and I don't know the story about this church. You've been supporting the Waldorf School forever. But we have churches now that are saying, why are we spending so much money for so little students? Or why are we spending so much money while our children are not even attending these schools? Because these churches have forgotten the mission of our churches. So I'd like to encourage all of you to go back to our history, to know that our reason for being, and for us to preach that message, we also need our schools to prepare the students to help us do that. And may the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus be very soon. Our theme at the conference for this year is sharing hope, Jesus is coming. So if we really believe it, if we say it, we need to show that we believe it. And how do we show it? With our priorities. Our priorities with the way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, what we invest in. So may God bless you all. May you continue to support our schools. If you are not yet part of our schools, remember, this is what God would want you to do as a parent. The Hebrews did it. They will never. As a matter of fact, let me share this. I see it's time. I'm part of a group of administrators throughout New Jersey. We meet together in Trenton once a quarter, and we discuss education as a whole. You have the Catholics. You have all kinds of private schools. It's called the Non-Public Schools Advisory. And all of us are sharing the challenges that we're experiencing. The Catholics are having challenges. Seventh-day Adventists are having challenges. The Baptists are having challenges. And then there's a gentleman who believes to the Jewish community. He said, I don't understand what you guys are talking about because for us, we have no space to put our children. The reason for it is because they will never send their children to someone else to teach for them. Because they understand for them to maintain their faith, they have to support their schools. You see, when we Adventists understood that message that way, we sacrifice to make it happen. But once we forget, once we become too comfortable thinking this is our home, our schools suffer. May we remember our purpose. We're going to sing this beautiful song, which is a song that we sing at every general conference session, 2:14. As we sing this song, we have this hope. May the Lord come into our hearts and refresh us anew, that we may remember to set our priorities and to keep our eyes on Jesus, because very soon we will be going home. May God bless you all.